The U.S. Supreme Court today takes up whether the government may make it a crime to create and distribute computer-generated images of children engaging in sexually explicit conduct. Congress tried to do that with the 1996 Child Pornography Protection Act. It imposes strict penalties for the creation, distribution, or possession of child pornography. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The Supreme Court has always treated child pornography differently from other sexually explicit materials because the court reasoned the state has a compelling interest in protecting children from being used in the production of such material. Indeed, said the court in 1982, so great is the threat of child exploitation and so severe the damage to the child that material using children in this way may be prosecuted even if it is not legally obscene. In contrast, adult sexually explicit material is protected by the Constitution's guarantee of free expression and cannot be prosecuted unless it is legally obscene. The modern age, however, has blurred that easily definable line between child and adult pornography, as lawyer Robert Flores observes.
You have just really a huge change in circumstance that I don't believe the court envisioned. Or anyone did, quite frankly, back in 1982.
Indeed, now computers can produce real-looking virtual children, clothed or naked, posed in suggestive or even sexually active conduct. And Congress has decided to make that illegal, too. The problem is that if no real children are actually involved, and the material would otherwise be legal expression, can Congress constitutionally make it illegal? The actual words of the statute reach even further than virtual creations, for the statute bars any visual depiction that appears to be or conveys the impression of a minor engaging in sexually explicit conduct. And civil libertarians have cried foul, arguing that a law so broad can outlaw cartoons or sculptures, movies with adults portraying the roles of minors, and even pictures and drawings in medical texts and sex education books. A federal appeals court in California agreed, invalidating the so-called appears-to-be provisions of the law. The appeals court said Congress has no compelling interest in regulating sexually explicit but otherwise legal materials that do not contain visual images of actual children. The government appealed that decision to the Supreme Court, supported by conservative groups, the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and more than half the states. The government argues that in practice, the statute has not been abused, that it is limited in its reach, and that the amount of speech the law suppresses is relatively small and justified by the problem the statute addresses. The government claims that the law is aimed at protecting children, because the secondary effects of child pornography are so harmful. Congress found, for example, that sexually explicit images of children are used to seduce children, and that the images whet the appetites of pedophiles or potential pedophiles. The appeals court rejected those findings, however, saying there are no scientific studies to support those claims. Supporters of the law counter that studies may not document pornography as a motivator for child abuse, but studies do show that pedophiles like, even thrive on, child pornography. Psychologist Victor Klein, for example, told Congress that in his experience, it doesn't matter whether child pornography is with real or fake children.
The people that look at it, that's totally irrelevant. What you're doing is you're creating within them the high probability of developing a sexual interest in children. So you are putting children at risk, even if it's just a cartoon.
The law's opponents counter that by that standard, almost anything could be found to be illegal by congressional fiat. Jeffrey Douglas is director of the Free Speech Coalition, the group of adult entertainment creators and distributors who brought this case. He says even mainstream movies could be outlawed.
Risky Business, Last Picture Show, Clockwork Orange, Return to Blue Lagoon, whatever reason a filmmaker would have to deal with sexuality of someone under 18, it can no longer happen on screen. You can't even have a non-nude, non-explicit depiction of teenage sexuality.
But are mainstream movie producers really worried about the law? After all, they didn't file a brief in this case. Mr. Douglas notes that when Lolita was remade with Jeremy Irons, lawyers were brought in for the final editing to tell the director what he could leave in and what he could not, for fear the studio might be prosecuted under the Child Pornography Protection Act. Michael Heinbach, chief of the FBI Crimes Against Children Unit, scoffs at the idea of prosecuting what he calls child erotica. That is, material that is suggestive to the viewer of child eroticism, but does not include actual sexual conduct or the lewd display of genitals.
If we view it that we think it fits into the category of child erotica and not to, in the definition as we're labeling as child pornography, we usually don't pursue it.
That's the point, counters the Free Speech Coalition's Mr. Douglas. The law shouldn't give prosecutors such unfettered discretion.
If you release a controversial film, you have to do it realizing that you're subject to prosecution by a politically active U.S. attorney or FBI agent. And that will necessarily chill speech.
The FBI's Mr. Heimbach responds that the FBI has a 99% conviction rate in its child pornography cases, and he maintains that the 1996 law is desperately needed.
It would cripple us in terms if we had to actually prove every time in court whether or not a child was real or virtual.
But Mr. Heimbach concedes the government has never lost a case because it could not prove the image of a child was a real child. He says it is the future he's worried about, as technology gets more and more sophisticated. That's a theme echoed by Robert Flores of the National Law Center for Children and Families.
I think that we really have a great opportunity for once of anticipating where criminals will go with this technology, and we have the ability to do it in a way which only addresses a very small amount of speech.
The future is also on the minds of the Free Speech Coalition and the various publishers and artists who are supporting the coalition in the Supreme Court. John Feldmeyer, one of the lawyers representing the coalition, contends that if the Child Pornography Protection Act is found to be constitutional, it will create a very slippery slope.
Because if a virtual image of child pornography is going to be considered criminal, then what about a virtual image of murder? What about the movies such as Pulp Fiction?
Or video games, for that matter. These are just some of the tricky issues that will face the High Court today, with a decision in the case expected sometime next year. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.